This is Pamela Bano speaking as part of the Hidden Truths Project, and you are listening to commentary related to the David Kennison Boulder Historical Marker, located in Lincoln Park at Wisconsin Street, just east of Clark Street, by the Lincoln Park Zoo's farm in the zoo. Of the many hidden truths I have uncovered as part of this project, the David Kennison story is the most richly layered. Every aspect of the Kennison legacy is questionable, from the stories of his life, to the fanfare associated with his funeral, to the true location of his gravesite. The location of the Kennison Boulder in Lincoln Park is actually one city block north of the actual burial site. When David Kennison died in Chicago in 1852, it was presumed that he was 115 years old and that he had led an astoundingly rich and historically significant life. In addition to his status as the last surviving member of the 1773 Boston Tea Party and an impressive list of military exploits, he was also known to have been married four times, fathering 22 children, 18 of those by his second wife. Of course, those last claims would really be his wife's accomplishments. Kennison's military career was largely self-proclaimed. In an 1848 letter to the editor of the Chicago Democrat newspaper, he wrote this: "I was at the Battle of Bunker Hill and stood near General Warren when he fell. I was at the battles of White Plains, West Point, and Long Island. I helped stretch the chain across the Hudson River to stop the British from coming up. I was also in battles at Fort Montgomery, Staten Island, Delaware, Hudson, and Philadelphia. I witnessed the surrender of Lord Cornwallis and was near West Point when Benedict Arnold betrayed his country and Andre was hung. I have been under General George Washington, for whom I frequently carried the mails and dispatches, as well as Generals Prescott, Putnam, Montgomery, and Lafayette." In his 1850 Pictoria Field Book of the Revolution, Benjamin Lossing interviewed David Kennison, and he wrote that during the skirmish at Saratoga Springs, a battle that had not been previously mentioned, Kennison was captured by 300 Mohawk Indians. He claimed to have remained a prisoner with them for 1 year and 7 months. After his death, Kennison's legend extended to include his status as one of Paul Revere's Minutemen. And also, the Chicago Evening Journal reported later that he had been assigned to Fort Dearborn in 1810, but at the time of the infamous massacre, he had been on assignment to deliver a message in Detroit. Kennison's legacy also includes a litany of injuries, none reportedly from battle. In her 1926 book, Growing with the City, Louise de Coven Bowen wrote this: "After the massacre, his skull was crushed by a falling tree. He had a bad fall later and broke his collarbone and two ribs. The discharge of a faulty cannon broke both his legs, and a horse kicked him in the face and smashed in his forehead. Nevertheless, he survived all these injuries." David Kennison arrived in Chicago in either 1845 or 1848. He told his own stories during his lifetime. In an 1848 letter to the editor of the Chicago Daily Democrat, complaining of a too small pension for his significant worth and sacrifice to his country, he announced himself as a living exhibit in one of Chicago's popular museums. This is what he wrote: "I have taken the museum in this city, which I was obliged to do in order to get a comfortable living, as my pension is so small, it scarcely affords the comforts of life. If I live until the 17th of November, 1848, I shall be 112 years old, and I intend to make a donation party on that day at the museum. I have fought in several battles for my country, and have suffered more than any man will have to suffer. I hope I would not go through the wars and suffer for what I have, for 10 worlds like this. Now all I can ask of this generous public is to call at the museum on the 17th day of November, which is my birthday, and donate to me all they may think I deserve. I shall be happy to have all the traveling community call and see me at all times." 4 years later, it was Kennison's own appeal which led to the assignment of a burial lot and the suggestion of a monument in the city cemetery. In a letter to the Common Council, City Alderman A.G. Throop wrote this: "I have been requested by several citizens of Chicago to call the attention of the Common Council to the following subject, to wit: David Kennison, a revolutionary soldier, is now in our city, at the house of Mr. Mack, on the west side of the river, and in all probability will not survive another week, and he has made this humble request of the citizens of Chicago, that he may be provided with a small lot in the city cemetery and buried thereon, in case of his death. and that some suitable monument be erected at his grave, instead of being buried in the potter's field, as is the usual custom with all those who do not own lots. David Kennison died within a short time of that request, on February 24, 1852. The city officials donated two burial lots, amounting to an 18 by 24 foot area, enough space for 16 graves. His military funeral was paid for by the city. Reporting on the funeral, the Chicago Daily Journal detailed the 10-section procession. Major DeVercy led the parade with four aides in military regalia. Next were three separate military bands playing with muffled drums, followed by the decorated horse-drawn hearse surrounded by six officers. After the hearse came the chaplain and others of the clergy in carriages. Next were the mayor and the common council of the city, also in carriages. Seventh in line was a battalion from the United States Army, followed by two uniformed battalions from the fire department. Nearing the end of the procession was another military band, followed by independent military companies. The last group was described as being citizens generally. When the procession arrived at the city cemetery, three cannons were fired in the appropriate military fashion. Apparently, the military regiments were called on short notice to attend the funeral procession, and as was their individual custom, arrived with their respective military bands. It appears to have been miscommunication that led to the overwhelming musical presence, creating an even more splendid affair than would have otherwise have occurred. No plans for a monument were ever made by the city officials, and over time, it appears that people forgot where Kennison had been buried. In 1894, 42 years after his death, a man named Fernando Jones helped plant a flag in Lincoln Park to honor David Kennison. There was talk to erect a bronze bust at the site. At this point, Fernando Jones mentions, for the first time, the existence of some tea from Boston that was given to him by Kennison. The David Kennison legend was revived. Those tea leaves are now in the collection of the Chicago History Museum. You can see them in the David Kennison Artifacts section of the Hidden Truths website. In 1896, after given permission by the Lincoln Park Commissioners to erect a monument in honor of David Kennison, a dispute arose as to the proper burial location. Fernando Jones and a couple of other men who claimed to have witnessed the funeral 44 years prior insisted he was buried in the park at Wisconsin Street. Other people, particularly a man named Joseph Ernst, suggested the gravesite was further south. I would have put my money on Joseph Ernst's selected site. Ernst was the gravedigger who oversaw the disinterments of the city cemetery 20 years prior. He would have seen a cemetery map. Nonetheless, Fernando Jones appears to have won the argument. This boulder was erected 7 years later, in 1903, to honor David Kennison's legacy. As part of my research for this Hidden Truths project, I viewed and copied every record of lot owners within the city's files. I was able to plot out a 600-foot section of the cemetery grounds encompassing this area. A Common Council document indicates that David Kennison's grave was within lot numbers 715 and 716 within the new survey section. This boulder sits on lot number 1377. John B. Turner owned lot 1377. Actually, this boulder was originally placed about 50 feet south of this location by that oak tree over there that appears in the 1903 photograph that was taken for the boulder's dedication. The burial lot over there, number 1358, was owned by Edward Parson. David Kennison was buried somewhere in the area of the park around Menominee Street. In the Chicago History Museum's Research Center, there is an essay on file with the catalog date of 1973. The essay, titled David Kennison and the Chicago Sting, was written by Albert G. Overton. In this paper, Overton systematically discounts David Kennison's Chicago exploits by explaining, through various primary source documents, that he assumed other Kennison or Kinnison men's identities to tell his own story. In five written pages, followed by four pages of cited sources, Overton presented information that has come to be accepted by historians as the real David Kennison story. Early in the essay, after describing Kennison's funeral procession, Overton wrote this: "Muffled drums beat a slow marching pace, for this magnificent parade was a funeral cortege to honor a well-known revolutionary hero. Actually, they were escorting the mortal remains of one of the most colorful imposters ever to take the city of Chicago."